right now he's like stoning.
Recording. Yes.
All right, thank you. All right, welcome back, everybody. We're going to get into step 12, what this thing is really all about. We're going to, we'll start over here, either Nick or Stephanie.
Stephanie, alcoholic.
Hey, Stephanie.
And I want to just thank everyone for being super patient and super quiet and, you know, really paying attention. This has been an awesome day for us. I'm not going to stand up this time because I'm ready to get finished as well. So, yeah. So, but this actually, this is the heart of our group. So, this next step. Our home group is called the Primary Purpose Group. And you guys know we meet at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, 526 North Bridge, Thursday night, 526 North Bridge Street, 7 p.m. So if you've enjoyed this, you can come check us out. If you feel like you're going to die and you can't get better, you can come check us out over there. So our group is called the Primary Purpose Group, and that's because once we go through the work and we have this spiritual experience, now my job is to take this awakened spirit that I get and to share it with other people. And, you know, my experience prior being in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was in the rooms for a really long time, and I hadn't really gone through the steps, and I would kind of sit back. And the more time I got, I would think that people needed to come and ask me for help. And I would do things like have them call me every day, and I would have them, I'd dictate what they needed to do, like how many meetings they need to go to, and, you know, they would ask me financial help, which will make my husband laugh, and maybe relationship advice. Yeah, no, I already shared about being divorced, right? I'm not great with all that. So the bottom line is that going back to this book, it actually instructs me not to do any of that. Okay, I'm not going to be doing any of that with people. That is not my job as a sponsor. What my job is, and by the way, the book never even says sponsor. I don't like calling myself a sponsor because when I think of sponsor, I think about like Pizza Hut sponsoring a baseball team or something like that, you know, when you're a little kid. Yeah. It's like we give them money, we buy them shirts, right? I don't even really like that whole sponsor word. So we kind of, for me, I just like to be called a spiritual guide or a step guide. I don't want to really be called the sponsor, okay? So in working with others, it's important that I know what I'm doing, and I had to have gone through this work, obviously. The instruction is that I have had to do everything that I'm going to ask the other person to do. So anything in here that I ask the person sitting across from me to do, I have to have done myself, okay? And I have. And I've had really good people taking me through this work. The two people that were sitting in the front of the group when I first came were these two gentlemen. And they've been mentors to me both. And they've expressed from the very beginning, even when I was in step zero, that if a woman walks in this room, you approach that person and you qualify that person and you see if that person needs help. So early on, 12 years ago, I was sitting at New Visions doing the best I could not to kill people and trying to show them the experience that I had going through this work. And it's been a blessing, and it's an avocation like the book talks about. It's something that I love to do, and as someone's spiritual guide, I don't ask them for favors. I have a lot of people come to my house, and I know in other areas in Alcoholics Anonymous, they'll have people, you know, for a change, for them to change, they'll have people pick up dog poop or, watch their kid or do something like that. But the only thing that I want to do is relate this message so people can be free like me, okay? And I have six dogs. I don't think anyone wants to pick up poop at my house, really. And I do it. I do it, and it's fine. That's my job to do, you know? And And I can take care of things on my own today because God has enabled me to do that in every area of my life, to be responsible for myself. So the only message that I want to translate is this message of hope. And so when I sit down, I'm going to show people the instructions. I don't want people calling me every day because I don't have time for that. I don't want to give anyone financial advice. I still have a lot of growing to do in that area because I love spending money, especially if it's not mine. And that was a little side note. I love food. I love God. I could go on and on. So, I do know how to go through this work and have a spiritual experience. And I'm freed today from the obsession of the mind and my craving. And last thing I want to say is that, my honor, and it is an honor to be able to sit across from another woman and to take them through this work. And I get emotional because if you only knew how many women I've been able to sit across from, it would probably blow your mind, because it blows my mind. And even if they don't stick, I always feel so happy to be able to sit down and get some of their story and then to share some of mine. And what happens is, as I take someone through this work in step 12, going through step 1, going all the way through to 12, or even just going into step 1 and doing 1 and 2, every time I'm doing that with someone else, I'm doing it as well, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going through each and every step with that person, and we're having this spiritual experience together. When their life is feeling unmanageable, when they're sitting in, man, even without booze, I want to kill people, that's right where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And so it brings me back, like Teddy always talks about, this circular thing that we're doing here in the steps. It's like the face of a clock. So it's not like Cynthia said 1 to 12 and I'm done. But 12 brings me back to 1, right? And I get to go all the way through with these people, 1 to 12, 1 to 12. And it helps me to see my resentments, my unmanageability, my craving, my obsession, my hopelessness, my continued attempt to play God in everyone's life. My continued agnosticism, like I talked about before. I get to then do inventory, and see how I'm treating people around me, how I'm a tornado in the lives of others. And really sitting in contemplation of all those steps. And I have to tell you, they say this in the book. This is an experience you must not miss. I hear this read at meetings all the time. People will say it. They'll say it like they've done it. I'm telling you guys, if you haven't done it, if you haven't gone through this work, and you haven't been able to share your awakened spirit with somebody else, you really don't want to miss it. You really don't want to miss the freedom and watching someone else's life grow up around them in a way that's unbelievable. I mean, Robert, wherever he is, there. When he came into that room, man, he was a guy that I thought, he and I went out on some, we went and worked with others together. And then he went back out and relapsed. And when he came back into our room again, I looked at him and I thought, who the heck? I didn't even know who he was, man. I was like, this dude's tore up. I can't believe he's alive, And today, he's successful. He's married. He's got 2 kids. I mean, look, he's up here just delivering this message. And me too. When I came in, I was a nervous wreck. These guys were annoying me to death. And I was just like, man, I either get to sit here or I can commit suicide. So, like most alcoholics, I just stayed. And thank God I was real desperate. And I did go through the work. And it's a passion, and I absolutely love it, and God has placed me in a position today where I get to spend all this free time that I have doing what I absolutely love, So that's all I have on 12. All the instructions for 12 are in this book. It does not say to call your sponsor every day. It does not say to ask for financial advice. It does not say I'm going to tell you to go to 90 and 90. I don't care. When we meet, do what's asked in here, and that's all I'll have you do.
That's right.
That's it.
My name's Nick. I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hey, Nick.
I want to thank everyone for that has pulled this day off. Bill, Teddy.
Thank you,
thank
Bill.
Thank you, guys. Everyone else.
Bill, thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Hi, Bill. Yeah, the one leaving.
Right, yeah.
Got to go.
We chased him out of the room.
Tri-tip. Yeah. But, you know, just reading the 12th step real quick. So having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry the message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So, you know, before I get into working with others, I have to make sure that I've had that spiritual awakening that they call it, that they talk about. You know, I've got to make sure that I know the clear-cut and precise directions that are in the book, or at least that's what our home group believes. And I believe that every group should be autonomous, and however you do it, and if it's successful, there's no reason to fix anything that's not broken. But I can only speak from my own experience, and what's helped me is finding a sponsor that really knew these steps, and a guy that took me through the work line by line, turning statements into questions, sharing a message of depth and weight is how my life completely transformed. He didn't always share things with me that I liked. He picked me apart in ways that made me extremely uncomfortable, but I thank him for doing that. And we invited God in, right? We invited God into our sessions, and God was the director. God was Dave was basically the vessel. You know, and I really believe that what was coming out of him was just as divine as the spirit that was guiding him. So when I think of working with others, I look at it this way, and I really mean it in all sincerity, is, you know, I almost look at myself as a carpenter, right? I started off as an apprentice, right? And I had a guy that helped me build a spiritual structure. You know, a spiritual arch, whatever you want to make it into. And when I learned that, and my life transformed, and he was able to convey these steps in a way that not only transformed me, but something that I can sort of duplicate. You know, there's a lot of God confidence that builds up in you. You know, I remember when I was in AA before I found Dave, and my sponsor would say, "Hey man, just go up and talk to him," and I didn't really know quite what to talk about. Right? I wasn't really sure what the solution was, because when I'd be in a meeting, everyone would tell me they have their own solution. So if I'm in a meeting with 50 people, I'm trying to discern my own truth by picking apart 50 other truths. Right. So that was very hard for me. I was extremely confused in AA until I found the way that the co-founders did it. So I look at it this way, is I'm able to do the same thing that my sponsor did for me. And I'm able to invite God in when I'm working with somebody and be able to guide them through. But the thing is, there's some things that we have to do, right, before we even sit down with this process, before I can actually say, yeah, this is a guy I'm going to take through the work. And a lot of that is intuition, right? We can look at, like, you know, Stephanie was saying, there's so much nut and bolts in this chapter. It literally will tell you line for line how to do things, right? But the thing is you're going to find your own feel of how you do it. You know, the one thing I know, and one thing maybe is a good consideration for you, is you are not God in that person's life. Right? When I'm working with somebody, that's one of the first things I will tell them, is I am not the guy to call if you've got problems. Right? I'm not your therapist. Right? I'm not your big brother. Right? I'm not your rabbi. I'm not your priest or whatever it is. I'm just a guy, a humble guy that's trying to help feed you the way I was fed. Right? That's all I am, man. Well, how do you say it, Teddy? A beggar? I'm just
One beggar showing another beggar how to find bread. That's it.
That's all we are. That's all we are. I've got no more power in me than that newcomer has in him. Right? But I've got some tools. Right? I've got a way of life that I'm able to show him. Right? But the thing is I'm not going to really have a conversation long with a guy that really doesn't want to hear what I've got to say. Right? Abby went to Bill's house, and Abby sort of was able to paint Bill into a corner, and he didn't even know it. Right? He met Bill's resistance with no resistance. And that's exactly what I do. When I talk to somebody, if you're not throwing back while we play catch, I really don't have much more to say to you. Right? Because one thing, you're not interested in what I got to say, right? Or you're just not ready, right? I'm not going to pull teeth with sponsees. You know, I made one mistake, and I'm going to let you guys know what that is, but, you know, I got sort of lazy working with people via Zoom and FaceTime because of COVID and stuff. But you know what? Through prayer and meditation, I realized, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I find it, for myself and the people I work with, it can be very distracting. Right? I like to be across the table from that person. You know? It's very important that, you know, he has my undivided attention. Right? It's really easy to be working with somebody on FaceTime and all of a sudden you see a text come up, right? And I don't know, if I'm only on the phone with you, you're going to be texting somebody, right? But the thing is I meet with somebody probably one or two times before I really will commit to working with them. It's really important for me to really see where they're at, because more important, you're not wasting my time. I'm still sharpening my spiritual spear working with anybody, right? If I'm good getting through doctor's opinion more than once, it's still sharpening my spear as far as, you know, being able to work with others, right? But most important, I don't want to waste your time. I do not want to waste your time. I do not chase you. As long as you stay interested, I stay interested. You don't call me, I'm not going to be calling you and asking you where you're at. Right? If you're truly desperate as I was, my condition, I was willing to drive once a week to Fresno from Orange Cove every week. And I remember I was only 5 minutes late, and he told me, dude, you better call me next time or I'm going to turn your ass around. Right? That's the type of sponsor I've been. Teddy knows what I'm talking about. We had the same sponsor. You know, so really, it's about you, right? It's really not much to do with me, because you know what? If I'm not working with you, I'm going to be working with somebody else.
That's right. That's right.
You know? So up to this point, you know, more than anything, I think I speak more strongly to you people that are listening today, right? See, I was in a desperate condition when I came here. Dude, I tried everything. I tried shrinks, I tried books, I tried religion, I tried, work, you know, anything that I thought that might become a little bit more, maybe become that higher power of mine. You know, what I've noticed, man, the worst higher powers, and is women. You know, I'll be working with some guys and a woman comes along and I'm like, oh shit. Here comes a higher power, man, floating in. Because it always feels right. It's got to be right. I mean, shit, man, this is my new wife right here. You know? Well, you know, if you're truly desperate, man, you'll know that all things fail, man. That is still a form of self-reliance. So I beg you, if you've heard something that really resonates with you, we have qualified individuals that can take you through the work with confidence. And if you hear one that sounds better than the other, don't even pay attention to that shit, man. Because there's people in here you don't even know that haven't spoke that can take you through this work. Yeah. Right? Yeah. This is what I always tell a sponsee, man. I'll be like, listen, dude, don't make a big deal out of me. One day you might be taking me through the work. You know? I'm just as human as you are. just as human as you are. And I can become untreated, and I can come to you for considerations. So that's all I got.
Thanks, man. Yeah. So working with others, you know, we've done the first 11 steps, right? And you know, on the bottom of page 88, where it talks about, you know, you finish the 11th step and you've done a lot of work. And it says, but this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead.
That's right.
The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. So step 12 is the very thing. I know without a shadow of a doubt that the reason why I'm sitting in this chair today is because of step 12. Because when you look at the steps on the wall, and it's like in a linear fashion from 1 through 12 lined up, actually, if you look at the clock face here, that's the way we look at step 12 and what it does. And this is how step 12 will bring me right around to step 1. See, when I'm sitting down with a newcomer and I'm taking that person through the 12 steps, and I go back into step 1 with them, there's an experience that happens for me when I have a newcomer telling me about their experience. There's something that I can get from that I can't get anywhere else on the face of the planet other than sitting across from you. So what has to be known here is that I could be 14 years removed from my last drink, but when I'm sitting across from a newcomer that's got 14 days and he's talking about I'm still detoxing, I know what he's going through. There's an experience to be had there. And each step along the way, 12 will bring me right back to 1. 12 will bring me right back to 2. When I'm in step 2 with you, I'm looking at my agnosticism. Not only are we looking at, because chronic, it says we agnostics. It doesn't say you agnostic. There's a we in that, right? So I have to look at that. And then in step 3, I look at my life run on self-will and me playing God when I'm going back into your third step with you. So all of these steps are beneficial, and there's a spiritual action that takes place in each and every step. Now, I want to go into working with others a little bit and just talk about what it says here, because this is a promise right here. It says practical experience. This is on page 89, the first paragraph. Practical experience shows that nothing will ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work without alcoholics. Now, insurance is a guarantee. Immunity is freedom. We're guaranteeing you freedom if you intensely work with other alcoholics. If there's people sitting in this room today, I want you to know, and you're struggling with staying sober, and you can't keep a sobriety date, you may get some time, but you keep going back out, here is the ticket. They're telling you right here what the instruction is to guaranteed freedom. Right? No, that's a promise. So here's some 12-step promises. It says, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss, right? Like she was sharing about. See, there's actually 3 fellowships in Alcoholics Anonymous. When you come into the rooms initially, that is the spirit of the fellowship. We all come into the fellowship identifying under alcoholism. We come together under the common problem. Then there's the fellowship of the Spirit, which is me going through the 12 steps and having a spiritual awakening. We unify in the common solution. But then there's the fellowship that grows up about you, what they're talking about here. Now, that's a fellowship that many people will never get to. At least that's my experience of seeing what happens. The fellowship, see, so my net worth today isn't measured in dollars and cents. And what I mean by that is my net worth is my network of people that I've worked with, that I've seen them, their lives change and come about 180 degrees.
That's right.
You want to see a real spiritual paycheck? Go and help somebody else watch their life turn around, and then you create this generation of sponsorship, because he's going to turn around and pull somebody else out.
Yes, sir.
Right.
If you haven't experienced that, I understand if you don't think there's anything to this whole thing that we're talking about, but you've never experienced what we're talking about. See, I used to talk outside of my experience until I jumped into the fire with you and got my feet wet. And then I've seen the fellowship start to grow up around me. And there's anything that's effective is going to grow like weeds. Anything that's effective will be transferable and reproducible. Right? We reproduce the experience of the 12th step when we sit down with somebody else and walk them through this process. You know, a spiritual principle, when you exercise the spiritual principles out of this book, there's a guaranteed transformational experience that will happen. If I put water at 32 degrees, it's going to freeze every single time. That is a spiritual principle. If I put the principles into this book into practice, I can guarantee you're going to get a result.
Yes, sir.
You know? And you got to know that. We're not sitting up here talking a bunch of mumbo jumbo. I'm not here 14 years removed and here talking to you about a process that doesn't work. You know? I wasn't bored on a Saturday afternoon and said, hey, I think I'll go talk about this process. Right? I have a serious connection that's attached to this. Right? Now, not every... And it says what Nick read on page... Back on page 60, 61 at the top there with the 12 step. It says we tried to carry this message. It's not because I'm not capable... But it's you may not want it, right? So what I do is I'm not rude. I'm not going to go where I'm not invited. And if I can see, if you're telling me you want it, if your actions show me that you don't, you've got to know that I'm going to detach from you. And it ain't nothing personal, right? You know, I only care if you care. But if you don't care, then I can't care. This is spiritual law that I live by, right? And you can yes me, you can pay lip service, you can do whatever you want, you know? But until your action and your heart is fully committed to this, we're wasting our time. My book says on the top of page 96 in Working with Others, it says, do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. That's an instruction for me, not to get discouraged. It says, search out another. And you are surely to find somebody who's desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. If I don't see the desperation, because I know what desperation looks like, you know, that means I'm showing up on time. I got the assignments done. If you're calling me up and talking to me about everything but what this work is about, I know you're not serious.
Yeah.
And I don't have to sit there and argue with you and lecture you about it. My whole thing is I will move away from that. I get around people who are spiritually animated and on fire. Mm-hmm. And if I don't see that in you, I don't take it personal. And that's our job. See, I'm not attached. I'm not into this sponsorship where we got to keep this guy in the room. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We used to tell people, I mean, we've had people chew us out for saying, hey, maybe you need to go back out and drink some more. You know? They're like, how dare you tell another alcoholic that? You know?
True story.
Yeah. I mean, I had a guy literally yelling down Bridge Street one night when we said, hey, maybe you should go try some controlled drinking. He was like, what? If you're not done, you're not done. You know, it's not my job to think that I can keep you sober.
Right.
You know, my only job is when you show up and you ask me for help, one thing that's not going to happen is you're not going to dictate how the help's going to go. Because I'll get these guys calling me up thinking they asked me for help, and then they're going to try to maneuver with their little sophisticated tactics that they're going to use, right? On how they think sponsorship's going to go. Now, if I buy into that system, I'm doing you a huge disservice, right? I know people that get their feelings hurt because they say, what a jerk. He doesn't pay any attention to me, right? No, I'm not feeding into that selfish behavior, you know? That's not helping you, not one iota. But when you're serious, let's come back to the table and let's start from the title page of this book, right? That's all I got to say, you know? And I don't want to ruin a future opportunity, because when you are serious for help, we got something for you.
That's right.
We got something that works, you know? 526 North Bridge Street, 7 p.m., meeting starts. When the bell rings, we're going to say a prayer and we're going to open up this book and we're going to start sharing experience from what we've done. Not from what our opinion, theory, belief, or philosophy, but what we have done. Experientially, this is what our lives are like today. See, this is one beggar showing another beggar how to find bread. It's not me up here, you down there, right? But if you don't want it, I'm not going to move towards you, right? That is a spiritual law of detachment. I will detach from you easily, right? And what you think of me has no bearing over me. Because guess what? Those are just luxuries of somebody who's truly not desperate. And when they do get desperate, they'll come crawling back. I've had plenty of them do it. They've MF'd me. They've done all kinds of stuff. Right? But desperation, see, that's the beauty about this. When booze kicks your ass to the point where there's no more excuses and you've ran out of other alternatives, you will come looking for help when your ass is really on the line. Because I didn't come to this out of virtue. I came to this out of desperation. You know? And if you're here and you're desperate, that's what we do. We work with others. I've worked with plenty of people, and I've seen a lot of them move on. But I've also seen the ones that have stuck. You know? The thing is we invite you to come to our home group on Thursday night to see what we do. And even if you don't go to our home group, find somebody who can take you through this process. But make sure they're showing you the program of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right.
Because that is my chief responsibility as a member of this fellowship, is to show you this program. See, there's a difference between the fellowship and the program. The fellowship is me coming in here laughing and cutting it up and having a good time. But when we dive into this program, this is a whole different matter.
That's right.
Right? But this is what keeps me here. Right? Because it's about moving away just from fellowshipping, right? So fear and fellowship will not keep me sober. But these spiritual principles will. And so find somebody who's qualified, let them qualify you, and then take you through this process. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.